now, insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 18th of September 2017. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, as always, call number 347-215-6180. Follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to my Instagram page at William Gerald Quinn. Monday Night Football has just kicked off. Giants hosting the Detroit Lions. Lions trying to improve to 2-0. Giants trying to, of course, avoid that dubious 0-2, which, you know, basically dooms your season. I mean, you know, you look at some of the numbers regarding teams that finished 0-2, started at 0-2. It's remarkable to make the gap between 1-1 and 0-2. Only about 12% of teams make the playoffs that finished 0-2. Of course, Odell Beckham will play. Janoris Jenkins, the All-Pro Pro Bowl cornerback, is out, which is nothing to shake your head at. That guy is a very good player. Consistently locks up Dez Bryant every time they meet when they play Dallas. So he's out. Against Giants, these games, these conference games are big time or big games because at the end of the year, you know, you're going to have a bunch of teams trying to make the playoffs, and these games really carry a lot of weight. Week one or week two, no matter how early they are in the season. We're going to begin, though, with the Washington football team, who picked up their first win of the season, 27-20 over the Rams, who I, played Indianapolis week one. That's almost a gimme victory without Andrew Luck. That team and Indianapolis could be the worst team in football. So we knew the Rams were not as good as they were in week one. Washington came out physical from the start, got the running game going, were able to just physically impose themselves with the offensive line. Kirk Cousins, managed the game, only threw the ball 27 times. Did enough. It wasn't great, but did enough. Didn't make any real mistakes as far as didn't turn over the ball, which is the most important number for him. And you got a physical, that was a throwback Washington performance offensively. Made enough plays through the passing game and just pounded the Rams with the running game. And it's something that anybody that's followed this team in the Jay Gruden era, he doesn't want to run the ball. He does not want to run the ball. I mean, let's just be honest. It pains him. Pains him to run football consistently. It really does. It kind of reminds me of Andy Reid back in the Philadelphia days, where there were times where you would see Westbrook, Deuce Staley, and the third back that they had. They had a three-headed monster in Andy Reid's earlier years with the Philadelphia Eagles. It worked, but he just wouldn't run. There were times where he just would not run the ball, just did not like running the football. And that's what you have with Jaden Gruden. And you know Washington is desperate to move the ball when Jay Gruden decides to run the ball. It's not just a matter. And again, he's gonna sit up there in front of the cameras, in front of the media, and say, "Hey, as long if it's successful, then we'll continue it." Well, we've seen it. We've seen times over the course of his tenure that it has been successful, and he just completely went away from it. So that's not the case whatsoever. That it's not that simple. When it comes to Jay Gruden and running football. Right now, the bottom line is you have a receiving corps that's still as a group trying to find their footing. Okay, Josh Dotson can't get on the field. You have Terrell Pryor still trying to feel his way with the Mets system. Grant, Crowder are pretty good players, but they're not great players. And Jordan Reed is nowhere near where he was at in 2015 with the toe injury. So all your passing game is basically, dumping off to the running backs, Jordan Reed when he's on the field, and that's it right now. So they're in a position where they absolutely have to run the football until these receivers develop, until Josh Dotson can get on the field. Their identity should be a power running team. They have a top offensive line. They have a very good offensive line, top 10, maybe even top 5 offensive line in the league. And they have the ability to physically impose their will on teams with the running game. They really do, if they so choose to. Now, again, it's one thing to rush for 229 yards against the Rams and push around that team when things are going well with the running game. What happens next week when you go against the Raiders and the Raiders say, we're going to dare Kirk Cousins to beat us down the field because the team hasn't shown as of yet that they can beat teams with a deep passing game. They haven't shown that. They've had some minor success, intermediate, but they haven't had those big 20, 30-yard chunk plays that they routinely made last season down the field to DeSean Jackson and guys of that ilk. So until they start picking up these big plays, you're going to see teams dare them to beat them down the field and try to take away the running game. I would not be surprised if you see 8 in the box if the Raiders go. You see when they play the Raiders next week, the Raiders go 8 in the box. And dare the Washington receivers to win the one-on-one battles. So we'll see what happens with that. This was a physical, balling from an offensive standpoint as far as with the rest of the offensive line. The game probably was closer than it should have been. Washington, made some and Tom Brennan called it out, rightfully so. Washington has the ball at 10-0. They had the ball at 10-0, and on second or third down, decide to throw two fade patterns instead of just running the ball down their throats. Instead of going up 13-0, going up 17-0, going up 17-0, settling for a field goal to go up 13-0. When it should have been 17-0. At that point, the Rams had nothing defensively for the Redskins for the rest of the Chargers that won the game. As Detroit had scored a defensive touchdown off a fumble, off a forced fumble to go up 6-0 with the extra point coming up. So, Washington controlled the time possession. Chris Thompson, who they have to find a way to get on the field more. Have to find a way to get this guy, to get him on the field more. I understand that they want to try to keep him healthy, that they don't want to try to play him too many downs, but the guy makes plays. I mean, he makes plays. He's really a home run hitter in terms of can break a 40-50-yard run or catch at any time. So they've got to find a way to get him more involved in the offense. I feel 347-215-6180 is the call number. Of course, in regards to the other news of the day, in regards to Washington, is that Sue Kravis is going to be done for the season. He's been placed on the injured reserve left squad, the reserve left squad list. A long name to say that. That's a lot of language to say that he's done for the season. But on the left squad, the reserve left squad list, bottom line is you got to have guys who want to be on the team, who want to play football. It's just that simple. You can't have this lingering on week in and week out, wondering when he's going to come back. I can't blame the organization at all for making this decision. It does not mean that his career is done with the team. He's 22 years old, 22, 23 years old. He still has a lot of time to get his stuff together. The first thing that should be in order is for him to get his life in order. And, answer the question, does he want to play football or not? That's the bottom line. So, and by the way, the call has been reversed in the Giant game. So I guess it was deemed that it was not a fumble that Eli Manning was down. So touchdown's been called back, and the Giants still have the ball. So Sue Kravis is done for the season. Again, that, he's to me a valuable player for what Washington does. We talked about how good of a player he has a chance to be, that hybrid safety linebacker, and certainly somebody that they really cannot replace, to be honest with you. They don't have anybody on the team that, can do what he does defensively. So they will miss him, but the good thing is it's something that the team can just move on and go on with the rest of the season, not to answer questions about for the remainder of the season. 347-215-6180. No score in the Giant-Detroit game, about 10:05 left in the first quarter. When we return, we'll talk about today's headlines and much, much more in today's edition of the Sir Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back.
Injury, a couple of injuries,
couple of injuries from Washington that were luckily not deemed to be serious. Rob Kelly with the rib, Jordan Reed, both of those guys are day to day. They'll have an extra day to get rested as again Washington. Not extra day, well, extra couple few hours to get rested as Washington plays the Sunday night game against the Raiders. We'll host the Raiders in Nation's Capital next Sunday night. So they're going to be day to day with their particular injuries. Green Bay has a couple guys nicked up. New England has a couple guys nicked up, including Rob Gronkowski, who seemingly stays hurt. You know, despite the fact he's an all-time great guy, just you know, stays banged up year in and year out. Amendola left the game with a concussion. But again, bottom line is, if Tom Brady's got the, then that team was okay. I mean, they had Gronkowski. They won a Super Bowl without Gronkowski. The only guy that can't be replaced is Tom Brady. So I don't really pay too much attention to New England when they have injuries. They just plug the next guy in, and that next guy gets the job done. Also, you had, of course, you had the fight this weekend, and a number of tickets got refunded because of the draw. Yeah, people, a number of people who bet it. And this is, you know, was part of the controversy. This probably was the biggest part of the controversy. Everybody wants to talk about the judge who was, you know, basically got suspended, was asked to sit down for a couple of fights based on her scorecard, which was 118-110 for Canelo. But the bottom line is, the reason why there was so much controversy with that decision is it was the fact that it was the betting, it was the money, and how much money was going to be lost by Vegas with that outcome. And then how many refunds they had to pay, and how much money that was lost by people who betted on that fight. That was the major part of the controversy. Otherwise, you know, it was that fight was a tremendous fight. That was a great fight. I thought Triple G won the fight. I thought, you know, I'm watching this fight, you know, saying to myself, you know, Triple G, not only is a great fighter, but I got to consider him. You know, it's undefeated, 35 years old at this stage in his career. I mean, the guy's an all-time great. He's not just a good, he's just not just a great fighter, not just an undefeated champion. The guy, he's an all-time great. A lot of people will criticize who he's beaten or who he's not beaten. He's beaten everybody in front of him. David Lemieux, Danny Jacobs, now Canelo. Canelo's 8 years younger than him. 8 years younger than him. I know Triple G was a slight favorite, but the bottom line is, you know, boxing, you know, a guy, you have an 8-year advantage in terms of youth on a guy, that's nothing to sniff at. Again, it was a great fight. Both guys, you know, both guys connected a lot of punches. It was, you know, both guys were technically sound for the most part. And I just thought that people would pay too much attention about the decision and not so much in terms of how great of a fight it was. That was a tremendous fight. You got your money. I don't see how you can complain. If you didn't bet on the fight, now if you bet, that's another story. But if you bought it on pay-per-view or bought a ticket to the fight, you absolutely got your money's worth. Now, nobody likes draws. And again, I don't see how you can ever come to, like, how a fight can ever be considered a draw. Something has to separate one fighter from another, whether it's a 10-8 round, whether it's one guy landing more of the power shots, whether it's one guy who won the last round. To me, that would decide it. If it was going to be an all-out tie, whoever wins the last round, that's the winner of the fight, if it was that close. I just don't think a draw should be possible in boxing, in my opinion. But again, I watched the fight yesterday, got a chance to see it yesterday, and it was a tremendous fight. Again, two great boxers not holding back. And again, I give Triple G all the credit in the world. I mean, he took a lot of Canelo's punches. I've seen Triple G got hit with punches that Canelo normally knocks the other guys out with. And that's had to be demoralizing for Canelo to have Triple G basically eating his punches. That's what he was doing, basically eating his punches for the most part. So you had that going on. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this next edition of the Cyril Jarrell Sports Podcast. When we return, the massacre at Mile High. We'll talk, or at Invesco. We'll talk about that and much, much more on today's edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back.
Ezekiel Elliott and force your quarterback to go out there
and beat you from the pocket and beat him from the pocket. And beat you team from the pocket. And Dak Prescott has yet to prove that he can beat teams from the pocket. So again, and I said it last year, don't annoy them yet. Let me see more. Let me see when the league adjusts to him and what he does. So far, the first two games, he has not been good. Other story in regards to Ezekiel Elliott is these two plays that he quit on in regards to the interception. First, the one that was blatant was the Chris Harris interception. He had run back on. Here's what I'll say to that. Listen, Jason Garrett can talk tough all he wants and bring up, we're going to have a conversation and so on and so on. That type of stuff happens because of a culture that is created or not created. You will never see that in Green Bay. You'll never see that in New England. You'll never see that even, for the most part, in Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Because the Dallas star players are enabled by Jerry Jones and that organization that, that type of stuff happens. Dez Bryant a couple of years ago walking off the field, leaving his team and walking off the field. And something in the old days, I would have gotten basically kicked off the team. But this is a different time now. So that is a culture that has been created by the Cowboys. They kiss their players' ass, especially the players that can play. And, those guys, this is what they do. Their character, Ezekiel Elliott, his character is slowly getting exposed. Everybody's, feed me. When everything is going good, when a team has bottled you up, what do you do? Who are you as a player? When you are a non-factor. We've seen guys on those type of plays come back and force a fumble on a defensive player. We've seen guys hustle. We saw a play. There was a play in the Florida game, the Florida-Tennessee game, where the Florida player thought he had a pick six. Tennessee player came at least 30 yards away, was a good 20 or 30 yards, hustled, caught the dude, and knocked the ball out and forced a touchback. Now, Florida, of course, won the game, which, Tennessee fans don't want to hear it. Certainly was not a good weekend, not a good Saturday for Tennessee. But the bottom line is the guy, again, I've seen a lot of plays, seen a number of plays where guys hustle back. The defensive player hustles back and either tackles the offensive player or maybe even forces a fumble. We saw the Super Bowl, with Don Beebe in a game that was done. The game with the famous Leon Lett play. The game was over. So again, this just speaks of the Dallas Cowboy culture as much as it speaks of Ezekiel Elliott. 27-20, Kansas City over Philadelphia. As far as I'm concerned, it was the best game of the day. Philadelphia is good. Philadelphia is very good. Going on the road in a tough environment, one in the division, so they get a divisional win, which is the most important one. If you're going to lose a game, and nobody likes to lose any game, but if you're going to lose a game, the game you want to lose in the NFL is a non-divisional, non-conference game, out-of-conference game. That's the game that you connect, and a game that's early on, a September game that's early in the season. That's the game that you can afford to lose, to be honest with you, and not hurt you as far as the playoffs go. I thought they were basically went toe-to-toe with Kansas City. They had a chance after recovering the onside kick. Had a chance with a Hail Mary. The thing that Philadelphia is missing is a power back. They need a power back to take some of the pressure off Carson Wentz. I think they're putting too much on him. I think he's throwing too many times. They're putting too much on him to make every – he has to make every single play in order for them to have a chance. I think they need more of a – more of a running game. They have a bunch of – right now they don't have a – they really have a couple of scat back. They don't really have that power back – that bruiser. So to me, that's what they're missing from an offensive standpoint. Otherwise, they have playmakers up and down the board offensively with Jeffrey and Ertz and what have you. We know what their front four is. They got another 4 sacks yesterday, even though Kansas City and Kareem Hunt had another big day, had a couple of touchdowns, made some big plays. Kelsey had a couple of big plays. Listen, that's what Kansas City does. Kansas City has a defense that's not a shutdown defense, but a defense that's going to make enough plays. And offensively, Kansas City could be holding Kansas City down. And Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, those guys, Travis Kelsey, they have explosive guys that will make one or two big plays that will be that will change the entire complexion of a game. Kansas City improves to 2-0. Philadelphia falls to 1-1. Alex Smith had another efficient day. No turnovers. 21-28, 251 yards. Again, Kareem Hunt, who has been the talk of the NFL season so far, especially as a rookie. 2 touchdowns, 81 yards rushing. 81 yards rushing. Carson Wentz gets we talked about that he was throwing too much. 46 pass attempts, 25 of 46, 2 touchdowns and an interception. The pass rush, again, the Philadelphia pass rush is as good as a pass rush as there is in the NFL right now. With their defensive line, they have 4 sacks. So, again, a very good game. Andy Reid gets the best of an assistant now. Improves a 9-3 versus his former assistant coaches. 347-215-6180 is your call number. This day's edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. When we coming up, we're going to shift gears to the college, to the day in college football. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this day's edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. The 9 o'clock hour on this edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. 7-0 Detroit. So far, Odell Beckham has been basically a non-factor in this game. Of course, he's back coming off the ankle injury. They haven't had that many possessions, but one catch, 4 yards for Beckham. Again, Detroit, this is a tricky game for the Giants. It's a tricky Detroit. Listen, Detroit is one of these teams. You get the weather right now, these September games. The weather is a non-factor. Detroit is a dull team. They don't have to worry about the winds, the swirling winds. And Matthew Stafford has a cannonball arm anyway, so it really wouldn't affect him. The winds, when conditions wouldn't affect him, you can throw through the wind. But right now, with the temperatures being what they are, weather is not going to be a factor. It's a tricky game for the Giants. Giants, no Janoris Jenkins, trying to reincorporate Beckham. No running game. Again, Giants really don't have a running game to speak of. Paul Perkins, to me, is not a lead running back in the NFL. I would put him as a number. He could be a number 2 back. Nice change of pace back. Paul Perkins can't be with that offensive line. He can't be a lead back. Giants now. With another possession, first and 10, has moved the ball down the field. Well, it has a good drive going. They moved the ball down the field, so we're going to tie the game. And there it goes. They have tied the game. I think that's Sterling. Is that Sterling Shepard? Looks like Sterling Shepard's called touchdown pass for them. No, Evan Ingram's called game time touchdown. So Giants go down the field. Looks like they're going to tie it up. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a high scoring game. Weather conditions are relatively perfect. Janoris Jenkins hurts the Giants defense not being there. Detroit's not a great return defense themselves. I wouldn't be surprised if these two quarterbacks both lit up the scoreboard in this particular game. Pretty good Saturday in terms of college football. You had a statement made by Clemson, as if we need a reminder in terms of how good they were, good they are. Clemson went to Louisville and just, you know, embarrassed the Cardinals. And the thing that stood out to me, you know, 613 yards of total offense. Clemson's quarterback, Kelly Bryant, I think will be a better pro prospect than Lamar Jackson. Every time I've seen Lamar Jackson in a big spot against a top team, against a team with any type of defense, he's come up short. Now, last year against Clemson, I thought he played relatively well, had some mistakes, but I thought he made a lot of plays. I thought that probably was his best game I've seen him against a top team. We know Florida State's defense last year wasn't any good in the beginning of the year. They put 63 on Florida State. Florida State's defense was not any good last September. They got better as the year went along, but they lost Derwin James, you know, didn't play that game. He didn't play, I believe, got hurt in that Mississippi game, the first game of the season. The Florida State defense, we have the same after his injury. But again, whether it's Houston, whether it's, you know, LSU, whether it's Clemson this year, every time we've seen Lamar, even Kentucky, which to my knowledge doesn't have a big time defense. Every time we've seen Lamar Jackson in a big spot against a quality defense, he's come up short, turnovers, and in this game, let's be honest, Kelly Bryant, who is a redshirt freshman, really, to say he outplayed Lamar Jackson is an understatement. And I said this last year, and I'll leave this even more right now, that there's no way in the world Lamar Jackson should have ever won the Heisman Trophy. And that Lamar Jackson, I forget about getting exposed at the NFL level. He's getting exposed right now at the college level. He will get drafted. Excuse me. There's just no quarterbacks in the league. Somebody will take him. Somebody will take him with a first-round pick. Somebody will absolutely take him with a first-round pick, second round at the latest next year. I'm telling you right now, he is not a pro quarterback, a starting pro quarterback. That's, again, the player out of Clemson was much more aggressive as a pro prospect. And that guy is a redshirt freshman. Who Deshaun Watson, you know, said on Twitter that he has a chance to be better than him, which is, you know, saying a lot. So you had that. Of course, we talked about the Tennessee-Florida, just a wild finish. There's no way if you're Tennessee that you could ever, in that situation, allow a guy to get behind you. I don't care if you have to camp guys out at the five-yard line in the end zone. There's no way in the world you can allow a guy to get behind you. That guy, the Florida receiver, was a good 3 to 4 yards behind Tennessee's defensive back in there, or their safety, which is safety and defensive backs. That was just, you know, you allow that to happen. You frankly deserve, you don't deserve to win the game. So that was a bitter loss for Tennessee against Florida. The SC Texas game was probably the best game of the day. Texas, you know, comes up short in double overtime against USC. USC, by the way, drew more people on Saturday night than both the Rams and Chargers drew combined in LA on Sunday. So, unless you know about the state of Los Angeles football with the Chargers and the Rams. So, yeah, again, this, you know, you understand USC is UFC, but still, I mean, two pro teams on a Sunday being outdrawn between them. It should never happen. But so that was the case. So other than that, again, yeah, Clemson making a little statement, just a little reminder about, you know, who they are. Alabama had a, you know, matter of fact, just Alabama had a performance where they just showed up. Like, we're just going to show up, go through emotions, and, you know, handle our business. Mississippi State embarrassed LSU. I don't see how LSU is even ranked. It's even ranked as we come off that just 37-7 against an unranked Mississippi State team that moved up, I believe, to number 17 this week. So that was the other thing that jumped out. Only one SEC team in the top 10. Of course, that's Alabama. Big Ten has three teams in the top 10. You have Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. So, you know, Big Ten right now carrying this weight as far as the rest of the country. And, you know, you had a great game. That was a great match. That was a great Texas-USC game. I did not expect that game to be that close. I really did. So that's what transpired with college football. Again, this Clemson quarterback is more impressive than Lamar Jackson. That stood out big time in that game with Clemson and Louisville. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, the Green Bay Packers return to the scene of the crime, and Carolina in some trouble despite 2-0 start. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this next edition of the Schedule Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. After the 9 o'clock hour, this next edition of the Show Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. 7-7 Detroit. The Giants tied up. Second quarter. Early in the second quarter, Monday Night Football. You had Atlanta getting taking care of business against Green Bay, 34-23, in a game that, frankly, just was not that close. The numbers don't tell the entire story in terms of total yardage. Atlanta at 31-7. Completely took their foot off the gas in that second half and basically, you know, stopped playing. I mean, that's all they're doing. That game was never in doubt. Even at 34-23, that game was never in doubt. Listen, Green Bay just has no answers for Atlanta. For Atlanta, in terms of just for Atlanta's offense. They have zero answers. Now it's not only just a passing game, Julio Jones. It's also with the running game as well. Atlanta had 141 yards rushing. And not too many teams have answers. I don't think there's any team, to be honest with you, have answers for what Atlanta can do offensively. I mean, last year we put up almost 34 points a game, scored on everybody just about. But Green Bay, definitely. Green Bay, you know, I remember when Randy Moss got into the league, first came into the league, and single-handedly changed the dynamic of Green Bay-Minnesota rivalry for about a good 2 years, where Green Bay just couldn't deal with Minnesota's offense. And that's how it feels right now. And this is even worse because these last two games, haven't even been close with Green Bay and Atlanta. I mean, they have not been competitive whatsoever. And you know, it's just one of those matchups that just certain teams match up better, just don't match up with others. That is the case with Green Bay and Atlanta. I don't care where the game is at, to be honest with you. I think if the game was in Lambeau Field, it wouldn't make a difference. Maybe it'd be a little bit closer, but Atlanta just has a quiet confidence about playing the Packers. They feel very comfortable in terms of playing the Packers. I know the Packers have been was out. I know the Packers had their tackles out. And the Packers really don't have a running game of note. But it's more about what they can't, not so much about what they couldn't do offensively, more about just defensively, just have no answers for Atlanta. So Packers fought a 1-1. Good news for them, they will be hosting the Bengals. And Atlanta improves to 2-0 on the season. Carolina over Buffalo in an ugly game, 9-3. Awkward game was all field goals. Cam, the big story out of this, two big stories out of this. Number one, Greg Olsen with the broken foot being out 6 to 8 weeks. Two, Cam Newton was sacked 6 times. And, Carolina, first 2 games, are getting San Francisco. We know San Francisco's a bad team, so I don't know how much stock I'm going to put into that win. But, Buffalo doesn't have any offense whatsoever. And, that should have been a relatively comfortable win for Carolina. Now, good news is Carolina's defense is back to where it was, or close to being back to where it was in 2015. But that value remains to be seen because they haven't based it on top offense. And we'll see, once they face Tampa, Atlanta, New Orleans, they'll get their chance within that division to see exactly where Carolina's defense does really stand. But we know one thing that we do know is they're still having trouble protecting as Eli Manningo has back-to-back turnovers in the Giant-Detroit game. First, with Pierre Paul hit on Matthew Stafford that forced a fumble. Now, Eli Manning throws an interception off a tip. Let's look at this again, see what happened on this, but back-to-back turnovers. Detroit has the ball back. That was a bad pass. I threw the ball behind the receiver. He had to reach back with one hand. That was bad. That's on Eli. I was ready to take Eli off, but that was clearly on Eli, man. It was a pass. The pass was behind the receiver, and the receiver, basically almost tried to grab it with one hand again. Tried to grab it with one hand and wasn't able to. So Detroit has the ball. Has the ball back at about the Giant 30-yard line. Which is still early in the second quarter. This game looks like it's going to be one of these wild games with turnovers. You can just feel it with these two games. These two teams are unpredictable from as they have one. Detroit is known for playing wild, these crazy down-to-the-wire games, these four-quarter games. So they kind of drag you into that type of game. So this has the feel of one of those games. New Orleans over, New England, dominates New Orleans 36-20. But the Patriots get back on track. 555 yards of total offense, 47 yards passing for Tom Brady. Though we mentioned earlier, New England was a little banged up out coming out of this game. Gronkowski, Amendola, and Buckhead, folks all sustaining injuries. But, again, there's only one guy who really needs to be healthy for New England, and that is, of course, one Tom Brady. New Orleans put up some fancy stats late that meant nothing in this game. Was not even as close as the score indicated. It being 36-20, the Saints fought over two. New England improves to 1-1 on the season. Pittsburgh over Minnesota 26-9. No Sam Bradford. He was out. Who knows when he's going to come back. It'll probably be day-to-day going into next week. But Minnesota had no chance without Bradford. Case Keenum, non-factor. Dalvin Cook just didn't get enough touches. He did have a relatively productive game, but with 64 yards on 12 carries. Pittsburgh, not spectacular, but made enough plays. Roethlisberger made enough plays through the air to get Pittsburgh to win. They ran the ball, they ran the ball somewhat effectively, 87 yards for Le'Veon Bell, though, on about 22 carries, so it wasn't so much the yards per carry, but the number of carries that Pittsburgh had over the course of the game that kind of wore down Minnesota's defense. Pittsburgh improves to 2-0. Minnesota falls to 1-1 on the year. Oakland embarrasses the Jets 45-20. Getting another big focus out, David Carr, Michael Crabtree, each had three touchdowns. All three of David Carr's touchdowns, or three of David Carr's alternative guards such as Winter Michael Crabtree, Jets did a whole bunch of complaining about Marshawn Lynch dancing on the sideline, which tells you where the Jets franchise is at right now. And you're getting embarrassed and you're worried about what another player is doing, the opposing player is doing on the sideline, something that had nothing to do with the game. So the Jets fall to 0-2. Oakland, of course, will be hit down at the district, down at DMV next week, coming in at 2-0 and playing excellent football. San Diego, again, finds another way to lose. They fall 19 as Matthew Stafford throws another touchdown pass for the Jets to Eric Ebron, 13-6, 13-7 Detroit, pending the extra point with about 8:43 left in the second quarter. Miami 19, San Diego 17. Again, San Diego finds new and inventive ways how in terms of losing these games. They lose their home opener in front of, I guess there's only, 30,000 people there. You want to call that a home opener. So, everybody's going to point to the kicker Coop for missing a 44-yarder. And make no mistake about it. You're in the NFL, you have to make a 44-yard field goal. There's no two ways about it as a professional kicker. But the bottom line is, San Diego had the opportunity to actually get closer. They had the ball second and one at the Miami 26-yard line with about 19 seconds left. They could have ran another play to try to get closer, but instead they chose to try to get the ball center. And instead of running another play to try to get more yards, they basically conceded the 44-yard field goal in the game. Inexperienced kicker, veteran quarterback, I'm trying to get more yards. I have confidence that I trust my quarterback that he's not going to turn over the ball, that he's not going to take a sack, and that even if you complete a pass, you spike the ball, you can spike the ball in about 5-6 seconds left. So if the pass is incomplete, the clock will stop. If the pass is complete, you have a first down. You're 4 or 5 yards closer. Remember, it's second and one. And again, you have to trust your quarterback in that situation to make the right decision and to get closer. You cannot put the game in the head, concede a 44-yard field goal to a kicker and a field goal block last Monday night that could have tied the game. Because to me, his confidence is shaky coming into this. So I thought San Diego could have did more with that at the end of the game. But because you have to make that kick, 44 yards to win the game. Miami, wasn't spectacular. Neither team played particularly well, but Miami made enough plays. And again, by these games come down to one kicker makes a 54-yarder, the other one misses a 44-yarder. That is life in the NFL. So there you go with week two games of note. Some other games that we didn't really get to talk about. Tampa Bay embarrassed Chicago 29-7. You had Jacksonville coming back down to earth, falling to Tennessee 37-16 in Jacksonville. So you had a couple of those games of note. Week three, you'll have Giants at Philadelphia, Atlanta at Detroit, and of course Oakland traveling to face Washington. So those are three games to kind of zeroing in on for week three in the league with no contract is guaranteed. Detroit up 14-7, coming off as they take advantage of the Giant turnover. When we return, we will have our top five teams of the week that's coming up on this edition of Switch Real Quick Sports Podcast. We will be right back. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is the call number. I just want to mention one thing before we get to top five teams. Jamar Pernsley is doing a pack a bag challenge. You can find the information on my website if my Facebook page, you know, acts like it has some sense here. So Jamar Pernsley is doing a pack a bag challenge supporting Houston flood victims. The information is on my website in terms of I shared it. So the information is on my website. So check it out when you get a chance to. I will repost it again once this program is ended. Pack a box challenge. Let me get that right. So the information will be on my website. So I just wanted to mention that. So definitely shout out to Jamar Pernsley for doing that, putting that together. And you can find the information on my Facebook page. And I will share it again once this program is concluded. NFL top five teams of the week. I have Kansas City at number one. Two impressive victories over two teams that I think have, New England, we know, will be in the playoffs, and Philadelphia certainly has a chance to be in the playoffs. So two impressive wins for Kansas City. Two, I have Atlanta. Three, New England. Four, Denver. Five, Oakland. So three of my top five teams are coming out of one division. That is the AFC West, which by far and away is the best division in all of football. There's just no two ways about it. All three of those teams, Kansas City, Denver, and Oakland, I believe will make the playoffs. Honestly, all three of those teams will make the playoffs. Of course, we began the program talking about the Washington football team with a 27-20 victory over the Los Angeles Rams. And we knew Los Angeles was not as good as that performance that what performance last week against a putrid Indianapolis Colts team that without Andrew Luck may not even be an NFL team without Andrew Luck. That's the drop off without him on the field. And of course, we mentioned earlier in the program, he is out for week three. He has already been ruled out for week three. Who knows when he's going to come back. But again, a game that Washington had to have, beyond the fact that only two teams, for the most part, don't make the playoffs. You look at the schedule, home to Oakland at Kansas City. If you're Washington, you're just hoping to be 2-2 after 4 weeks with those two teams coming up on the horizon. Washington going back to just old Washington football with the running game, 229 yards rushing. Robert Kelly had a big day before he went out with a rib injury in the first half. Chris Thompson had a big day. Kirk Cousins did not turn over the ball. Had the game winning touchdown to Ryan Grant. Put the Skins up 27-20. Then of course you had the interception by Mason Foster. It's just a rookie mistake. As he was baited Jared Goff and baited Jared Goff into that throw. So that was a great play by Foster. And again, Washington, not spectacular, did what they had to do, ran the football. The pass rush was not there yesterday. I didn't think the Redskins defense played actually particularly well. I thought the Rams had gave up a lot of big plays. They had the 69-yard play to the tight end where he was a broken coverage. I thought Gurley got loose a couple times. Gurley has done next to nothing since 2015. Like Gurley had an excellent 2015 season. Last season, in the first game of this season, was struggling to crack, a great game of Gurley in the last year or so is 70 yards, 80 yards. That's a great game, 85 yards. So I thought he got loose. He's had a pretty good game, though. They did force a fumble in the beginning of the game. I didn't think the Redskins defense played as well as they played against Philly, to be honest with you. I thought the Rams don't have nowhere near the personnel, I feel, as the Philadelphia Eagles have. So, really didn't generate that much of a pass rush. Outside Ryan Kerrigan with a strip of Jared Goff that was recovered by Los Angeles. So, you're going to have games like that where your offense has to pick it up. The Redskins are getting dominated time of possession. They dominated from the line of scrimmage as far as just physically imposing their will on the Rams, and they were able to come out with a 27-20 victory heading into a primetime Sunday night game against the Oakland. We know are one of the best teams, not only in the AFC, but one of the best teams in all of football. That's going to wrap it up for today's edition of Sergio Grant Sports Podcast. I will see you next time. Have a great rest of your evening.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.